We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. This evening, Sunday, April 2nd, bring your kiddos to Trinity United Methodist Church from 4 to 6 p.m. to involve them in the Journey to the Cross program. It will be a fun family journey for them to learn what God did for us. That's at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Thursday evening at 7 p.m., Trinity United Methodist Church will join the First United Methodist Church, and Bethel Community Church in a Maundy-Thursday service. This will take place at First United Methodist Church, located at 201 East 3rd Street in Seymour. Friday at noon, Trinity United Methodist Church will join again with First United Methodist Church and Bethel Community Church for their Good Friday services. We will carry the cross from First United Methodist Church at 201 East 3rd Street to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street with a closing service there. If you're unable to walk it, please feel free to drive the route with us. Easter Sunday, April 9th, please join us for a morning of worship and fellowship. Our sunrise service will be at 7:30 a.m. with breakfast offered at 8:30, 8:45. We will then follow with our resurrection service at 10 a.m. All will be here at Trinity United Methodist Church, 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. Now our scripture reading is Philippians 2 through 5, found on page, 1162, I believe. I don't know what I did with it. Found on page 1162 in your pew Bible. And then that will be followed by our sermon, Hosanna, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. So Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
The word of God for the people of God. Today is the day that we celebrate our Lord Jesus as King before we walk with Him through Holy Week. Today we are thankful that there was at least one day in the biblical account where Jesus was given the recognition that He so deserved. Hosanna. Hosanna is an exclamation. It is a praise. Anytime we offer adoration and praise to our God in the church, it could be referred to as a hosanna. Hosanna is also a prayer. Save us. The God, the Redeemer, the one who came in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, sent to redeem us from our sins, to reconcile us to His Father, our loving and merciful God. Let's look at the story as they travel to Jerusalem for the Passover. Let's look at it and remember it as it was told. Even though the sun was just beginning to peek up along the mountainside, you could see streams of people coming from the Jordan Valley into Jerusalem. And on top of that mountain was our Lord Jesus Christ waiting and watching. These people had come to celebrate the Passover, the highest celebration of the Jewish faith. They had come from all over the world to celebrate the Passover and to offer sacrifice in the temple. Whether that sacrifice be huge or whether it be meager, we know that it was accepted the same by our God. Now, we had some trouble with some of the Jewish leaders. And today, we see where our King Jesus reigned, where he showed, although he was a lowly, humble servant, that he was indeed King of Kings, and that he stood by the average man. Jesus stepped out from the doorway and began walking. He walked up the street, up the dusty road to the top of the hill, and the crowd followed. This crowd had learned that our Lord Jesus Christ was a great teacher and that he had done numerous miracles. So as the crowd followed, they tugged on the robes of the disciples and said, "Where are we going? What is he going to do? Is he going to give us instruction? Is he going to teach us? Maybe he'll do another miracle." You see, he had gathered a reputation, and the people adored him and wanted to see him. The leaders of the temple, not so much, and definitely not the Roman centurions. From across the Kidron Valley, the Roman centurions stood guard on the walls of the temple, and they could see the crowds coming, and they could see the palm branches being waved and all of the shouts that came from the people. And then, from somewhere in the middle of the crowd, someone started to recite a passage in Zechariah. For they realized that what the prophet Zechariah had said was coming to life. They realized that this king was in their midst. You see, Jesus at the top of the hill had whispered to one of the disciples, and the disciple had taken off. And now that disciple had come back to Jesus Christ, and he had with him a donkey and a colt. And somebody from the middle of the crowd began to recite the passage in Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." More people caught on, and someone spread a robe upon the back of the donkey, which Jesus climbed onto. Others began putting their robes down in the dusty road. They all picked up palm branches and began to wave them. You see, Zechariah's passage told us about a peaceful king who was coming. And the palm branches that you see out here, they are a symbol of peace. There was indeed a peaceful king riding in to Jerusalem. The centurions watched as the crowd moved down the hill. They could see the waving of the palm branches, and they could hear all the shouts, "Hosanna! Glory be the one who comes in the name of the Lord!" And they did not care in the least bit about Zechariah's passage. Nor did they care about any religious stuff. All they wanted was to keep control on the people so that no violence broke out and made its way in the news back to Rome, which would cause all kinds of upset and they would get in trouble. They said, go ahead and come. Just don't cause any problems for us. Exactly what happened next isn't clear, but the Bible tells us that Jesus walked up to the magnificent temple with its golden columns in all of its glory. You remember, this the people thought was where the presence of God was found. So the temple was indeed glorious. And as they made their way up there to exchange their currency from wherever they came from into the currency that was used at the temple, we see King Jesus rise up for truth and justice. He could not stand that they were taking advantage of the people. You see, everybody knew that those money changers charged way too much for the exchange of money. But there really wasn't much they could do about it, seeing as how the temple leaders were in cahoots with them, and they got a cut of whatever was made. Jesus had had enough. No, this will not happen in my Father's house. He came with a homemade whip. He began cracking that whip. He started turning over tables. He started pushing people out of the way. And he began to holler about what was really right. Now those centurions, they stood back and watched. The crowd that came with Jesus was too large for them to intervene. But they made their minds up. They said, you know, I think those temple leaders are right. Something needs to be done about this guy Jesus. He's a rebel and he gets people all stirred up. You see, today is the day that we call the triumphal entry. And we as Christians and we as the church look as though those first Christians did. Whew! They forgot all about the passage in Zechariah. They forgot all about the peaceful king. And they stood up and they shouted and they cheered and they said, about time. Jesus is doing something about those moneylenders. This Jesus is a king of power. This Jesus is a king of justice and righteousness. They cheered. They were absolutely thrilled. And you know, I think sometimes we as a church, we think that when there are people that we disagree with, that we should stand up, that we should wave our palm branches and we should shout our words and we should begin tossing things around. Because after all, doesn't it sometimes take some yelling and shouting and throwing for peace to come about? But then, beloved, we remember the words written in the letter to the Philippians. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Taking the very nature of a servant, he made himself nothing. He humbled himself by becoming obedient even unto death. And it makes me wonder, we are called to be the people of Jesus Christ. We are called to be his ambassadors. And I wonder, should we take another look at the story of Palm Sunday in the Bible? Should we look at it as if we had the same mindset as Christ Jesus? Now, it's not going to change the story. What happened, happened. It is done, and it is recorded in the Bible. But maybe how we proceed from this moment on will change in our minds when we look at what happened. Let us remember what Matthew said happened as they were all on their way to Jerusalem. Jesus prepared his disciples for what was going to happen in this coming week. He said that he would be delivered, that he'd even be delivered by somebody he cared about. He would be turned over to the crooked priest. He would be turned over to Rome. And we know by the reading of the word that he would have an unfair and unjust trial, that he would be beaten and whipped and spat upon and humiliated. And you know, for me, that's the part that hurts so much. The physical pain, as we all know, hurts. And it can leave scars upon our bodies. But the things that are said to us that are absorbed by our minds and our spirits, those are the things that we carry with us forever. Thank goodness that our Lord Jesus Christ knew who he was and who he came to be, because he could rise above it all. Here, in a few moments, we are going to come to the altar, a sacred place. We are going to kneel down upon the symbols of peace, and we are going to take blessed, holy communion. For that, too, was something that Jesus prepared his disciples for and prepared us, his disciples, by the reading of the word. I have to wonder, as he rode down that hill on that donkey, was he thinking about the procession of a king? Or was he thinking, okay, things are pretty stirred up here. I'm guessing now that those centurions are going to have to do something. And as he told people that the temple would be destroyed, that there would not be one stone left standing in that beautiful temple, I have no doubt that he thought, now they think I'm threatening the temple, and they're going to have to come after me. Actually, I don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking, but I do know what he came to do, what his role was. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that role was held first and foremost in his mind above everything that was happening, above the shouts of acclamation on Palm Sunday as he triumphantly rode in to Jerusalem, above the accusations, above the bogus trial, above the pain of being whipped, above the humiliation of having the crown of thorns placed upon his brow, piercing him and causing drops of blood to pour, above the pain of having a robe put upon his beaten and battered back, above the shame of being nailed to a wooden cross, above dying a criminal's death, he continued to think, this is what I came to do. This is what my Father sent me to do. He kept in the forefront of his mind that he had come to be our Savior, that he had come to die, that no matter what was happening in his life, he had come to die for us. And you know, beloved, it makes me wonder if we shouldn't start thinking about that a little bit as well. I know most of you here, and I know the rest of you by nature of knowing whom you are connected to. And I know that all of you believe in Christ Jesus, and you have all done your part to be an ambassador of Christ Jesus. What if our ultimate role is to illustrate, to portray Jesus Christ to others, to those who do not know him, to those who need a deeper walk with him, to those who need forgiveness, that we might offer it in the name of Jesus Christ, to those who need healing and comfort? What if our ultimate role, like Jesus' ultimate role, was to die for our sins? What if our ultimate role, no matter what is going on in our life, is to live as Christ Jesus instructed us to live? If that is possible, we don't have to do everything right. It is possible that we do not have to win every argument. It is possible that we don't have to protect our beliefs about the church. It is possible that we can simply love one another. We can do what we were called to do, and that is to love and to show the love of Christ Jesus. Our song of response is also written into history. I love the fact that the ancient hymns can teach us more about Jesus Christ than anything else can. It says, "At the name of Jesus." It is a hymn from 1870 with lyrics penned by Caroline Maria Noel. And this hymn proclaims the sovereignty of Jesus. The first line begins off, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." And then it says, "Every tongue confess him King of glory now. 'Tis the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, whom from the beginning was the mighty Word humbled for a season to receive the name from which the lips of sinners cried. Faithfully he bore that name, spotless to the last, brought it back victorious when from death he passed, bore it up triumphant with its human light through the ranks of creatures to the central height, to the throne of the Godhead, to the Father's breast, filled it with the glory of that perfect rest. In your hearts, right now, enthrone him and let him subdue all that is not holy within you, all that is not true. Look to him, your blessed Savior, in temptation's hour, and let his will enfold you in its light and power.